I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
I support the president's decision.
Do you have regrets about the withdrawal or how the withdrawal occurred from Afghanistan that cost the lives of 13 of our service members?
I don't have any regrets.
You don't have any regrets. Secretary Austin, it's very telling. Secretary Austin, has there ever been any accountability for anyone within the Department of Defense for the deadly, botched, an embarrassing withdrawal from Afghanistan? Any accountability?
Hey, listen, our troops evacuated 124,000 people off that airfield.
Has anyone been held accountable? If a Navy captain grounded a ship, what happens immediately?
Typically, that captain is removed.
That captain is removed. Has anyone been held accountable for what happened in Afghanistan?
To my knowledge, no.
You don't regret it? No one's ever been held accountable? Mr. Chairman, this is why this Republican majority must provide the accountability that this administration wants to sweep under the rug with what happened in Afghanistan.
March 31, 2023. I know most of today's talk has been focused on the Trump indictment. I'm going to deal with it. But that testimony from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is staggering. No regrets about how we left Afghanistan, how we left 13 of our troops exposed to a suicide bomber, how we flew unvetted Afghans, possibly Taliban terrorists, direct into our nation. We need a full accounting, but he has no regrets. Like Hillary Clinton, Hillary Benghazi Clinton. What difference does it make now anyway? All right, to the more current pressing issue, that's Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg getting a grand jury to indict former President Trump. Trump's attorney, Joe Tacopino, was on Sean Hannity last night.
First of all, have you spoken to the president?
Yes.
Reaction?
He's ready to fight. You know, he's the toughest guy I know.
Yeah.
And he's, he was shocked, you know, because we really were, I was shocked. I mean, I've never been angrier in my 32 years in this business, both as a prosecutor and defense attorney. I've never been more angry about a charge because today the rule of law in the United States of America died.
It's dead.
It's dead. And it's something that I never thought I'd see. I have goosebumps even saying it because I don't feel good about saying it. You know, when you stretch the law to get someone you don't like, or as a political opponent in this case, it's very hard to ever get that law to come back to its original shape.
Now, you heard some yelling. Sean Hannity had an audience for his show last night. We have yet to see the actual indictment. That will come probably next week. But all the speculation surrounds money paid to porn star Daniels, Stormy Daniels. The charges centering on that, she allegedly had sex with Trump in 2006, which he denied. She also had denied, then later said, yes, she did. And that she and Michael Cohen had also denied it again, Cohen being Trump's personal attorney. But she took money in 2016 near the end of the campaign to sign a non-disclosure agreement. She wouldn't talk about it. So non-disclosure agreements are going to be illegal? How many companies have employees sign an NDA before they leave? No, they're going to have to prove more than that. There's no evidence of any crime at this point. The indictment may be simply an attempt to tilt the scales, reference the election. Well, that might not work too well for them. Most Dems are happy, but some are worried that this will guarantee Trump will be reelected. Then you have Nancy Pelosi and her view of U.S. justice as reported by Fox News.
Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reacting to former President Trump's indictment, saying in part, quote, no one is above the law and everyone has the right to a trial to prove innocence. Pelosi turning our legal system on its head because, you know, in the U.S., those accused of crimes are innocent until proven guilty.
I'm not sure if she wrote it herself or a staffer did, but clearly they don't understand our system. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty unless you're Donald Trump or one of the disfavored Republicans that they have targeted. And that's what we're seeing, Shannon, across the board. That's why our weaponization committee has been so busy right now. There is so much of this to uncover and show to the American people, and it's alarming.
That was Louisiana Congressman Mike Johnson, Republican, who's also an attorney. And Nancy Pelosi has our justice system backwards. No surprise there. Well, Trump's attorney says this all stinks of Gestapo tactics.
That was Nazi Germany. That was Soviet Union. That was Communist China, where you pick the target, the person you don't like, the political opponent, and then you find the crime. It's not that way in the United States. It never was that way in the United States of America. It's not supposed to be that way. And when we start doing that, we're no better than those other horrific, you know, dictatorships and governments that abused rule of law. Mm-hmm. America always had the justice system to protect our citizens, whether they were popular citizens or unpopular citizens. They always had the justice system. Now, today's proof that you could actually pick a target and then try and find a crime, even a crime that's not a crime, because there is no crime here. Sean, I'm telling you, there is no crime. I know the facts, I know the law, and I really want to see where this is going to go.
Yeah, we all are wanting to see where it's going to go. But again, that's Trump's attorney, so I'd expect him to say that. What about Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney that pushed forward with this? Remember in his campaign when he was running for office, say, I will bring Trump down. And he's got horrific crime in New York City on a daily basis. And he's spending all this capital and time and money on going after Donald Trump to fulfill that campaign promise because that's what the left wants. Now, it could be that Bragg is trying to combine state laws to accuse Trump of falsifying business records, arguing that in doing so is covering up the hush money in the final weeks of the 2016 race, making it an illegal campaign contribution. And then you get some folks like Democrat Adam Schiff who says, no one's above the law. Well, I don't see him asking questions about Biden, do you? No, I don't. So what's going to be accomplished in the end? My guest coming up, who is not a Trump supporter, has some thoughts. And I'm going to tell you right now, this story coming up, this interview with him, is engaging and some might say even testy. Plus, we do have the story, and let me tell you before we wrap up here, the story of a president who got arrested. Ulysses S. Grant got arrested and ticketed because he was driving his horse buggy too fast. So there's that. We have a lot to cover. Do not go anywhere. Let your family, friends know we're on the air right now. You don't want to miss anything, especially my interview coming up. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington. A crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. Take a good look at your lawn. You're probably going to find some issues. That's when you contact Allen Outdoor Solutions. They have a solution for everything. Steve and his team are experts in irrigation, landscaping, outdoor lighting, lawn care, for home or business. Visit the Allen Outdoor Solutions website. You'll be amazed at the beauty and quality of work. Get a free quote, AllenOutdoorSolutions.com, or call 314-647-4800, 647-4800.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And my guest we've had on numerous times before, for my loyal listeners, I know you love to hear his viewpoint, John Leboutier. former New York congressman, author of the book Harvard Hates America. And John, again, glad to have you on board. And when we set this up yesterday, we didn't know about the indictment at that time. And I knew we'd have some good topics, but boy, did we suddenly get a flood of material.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's historic, Larry. And I'm happy to be on with you the day after. But we'll be talking about this and other indictments, I think, all during this year. And what we don't know, I mean, it's a lot we don't know, including what is in the indictment.
Right.
But I'm particularly taken by the mixture of criminal charges during a presidential campaign and how they affect each other, because it's never happened before. And it's fascinating to say, you know.
And I want to point out that when you raise that, you're not raising it as a Trump supporter. You're raising it as a simple question of, in the middle of a campaign, you're coming up with this kind of stuff, and based on what? Am I hearing you correctly?
Well, I don't use the terms coming up with this stuff. I mean, I'm just saying he's been indicted now yesterday, but not really officially till Tuesday.
Right.
And then in these other cases that we all know about. And I'm just fascinated to watch the...
You're talking about the Georgia case and the other things.
And the two special counts against Trump and how they're going to affect every aspect of 2024.
I didn't know if you're talking about Hunter Biden and his possible case against him.
Hunter Biden's not running for president.
No, but Daddy might. But I'm looking at Margo Cleveland wrote a piece for The Federalist. Give me your viewpoint on this. She said, this is the gist of it. America has entered the era of show me the man and I'll show you the crime.
I don't know what that means. I mean,
oh, John, you do. You do. Come on.
Show me the man. I'll show you the crime.
I've got a guy I want to get. So that's the guy. Now I've got to create a crime around it.
Larry, let me just say, I'm from New York, as you know.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I've known Trump personally since I first met him in 1984.
When he was a Democrat.
And he came up to me at a party and introduced himself. And invited me over to talk to him in his office about something. And a lot of people here over the years have known Trump. And the idea that this is cooked up stuff on Donald Trump is insane. This guy is one of the sleaziest operators, the biggest con men, way before he got into politics. He was this way. He's an inveterate liar. He's a bad guy. He's pulled the wool over so many people's eyes. I don't quite get it, but that's what it is.
Okay, so let's say he paid, if it's correct, and Cohen, his attorney, got charged and convicted of perjury.
Let's not spend a few minutes together. Have me back on next week after the indictment is unsealed.
I know.
We'll know what we're talking about.
Well, let me ask this. Do you not think it's tied to the money paid Stormy Daniel, supposedly?
Sure, that's a part of it, but it's apparently business fraud, fraudulent records, all this stuff. Let's wait and read the indictment.
Okay, that's fair.
Next Tuesday, we'll all be able to read it, and we'll know what we're talking about. But you tell me, how could one human being be involved in so much alleged criminality? Campaign fraud in Atlanta, Georgia, on tape. We have it on tape.
Uh-huh.
Him putting the arm on Brad Raffensperger.
Six seconds of a 45-minute conversation, wasn't it?
Not 6 seconds. The whole conversation is unbelievable.
Okay.
And Raffensperger was pro-Trump, and he guys squeezing him for votes. If you took that, flipped it around, and had Hillary Clinton doing that to a Secretary of State, you'd be going crazy over it. I'd be going crazy. But it's Trump doing it, so people want to make an excuse for it.
Actually, I'm with you on that.
By the way, a crime can be committed in 6 seconds. So I don't know why you minimize it.
I'm not minimizing. I'm just pointing out that basic fact is what they were focusing on. And I agree with you.
First of all, there is no
one above the law, but
why is the president of the United States ever even calling election officials at the state level? They don't do that. Presidents don't call up the Secretary of State. Secretary of State is one of the dippiest jobs Nobody gives a damn about that job in any state. It's a nothing job. And Trump's on the phone with this guy multiple times to the point where Raffensperger's people say, we got to start recording these calls.
Okay. All right.
It's insane for a president to do this.
If we're going to say no one's above the law,
correct.
How does that fit with what we're hearing and seeing? And, of course, again, allegations, just like the indictment, whatever it says, are allegations at this point. Reference right. money going to the Biden family from China and the way it was in and out and all these SARS reports, suspicious activity reports that are suddenly being uncovered. Are we seeing a dual system of justice? I guess it comes down really to that point more than anything else.
Well, we should never have a dual system. Of course, you're right. So I don't know what's happening. The Bidens and all the stuff about money they may have gotten, it's not Joe Biden. It's his brother and his son.
Well, I don't know how you can say it's not Joe. I can't say
well,
it
there's
is.
No evidence. There's no evidence. There's no evidence of it. There's no charge of it.
That's correct. And, you're correct.
And during the period of time, he was a private citizen.
No, actually, some of it started when he was vice president, when he was flying his son on Air Force Two over there so his son could start making business deals.
Right, right. Well, look, as I've said to you before, every president has family members who capitalize on their famous presidential relatives, brothers, nephews. I can go through them for you. Yeah. Every one of them. Remember Billy Carter and Billy Beer?
Oh, yeah, Billy Beer, absolutely.
And the
terrible
first
tasting, by the way.
And the first President Bush, George H.W. Bush, had an older brother named Prescott Bush who made a killing, believe it or not, in communist China developing golf courses.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Nixon's had two brothers who did it. LBJ had a brother that no one knew about called Sam Houston Johnson.
And I'm from Texas. You know, there were a lot of stories about LBJ that today would be explosive, but then they just kind of got pushed aside. I mean, there were reports of a guy that committed suicide shooting himself four times in the back. That was time.
Yeah, well, he ricocheted very carefully.
Yeah. That's good shooter. Good shooters in Texas. Here's where I think. And I absolutely, before you joined us, I played a clip of Rachel Maddow, which I seldom would agree with her, but she said, you know, this whole thing, it might just turn out to be as boring as reading the back of your car insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
You think
so?
Well,
that's this case. Well, I think 30, allegedly, right, so who knows, if they have 30 counts of document fraud. So every time he signs a check, that's a count, that's a dot. So you have to read that indictment that on such and such a date he signed this check for Stormy Daniels. I mean, how exciting is that?
Yeah, I know. I mean, now, let me, the other question.
So what? A lot of crimes, when you read them, are not particularly exciting.
Oh, I agree. Like these SARS reports involving Hunter Biden and all the reports about suspicious activity of money. Now, the other issue is, it's been raised, and you live in that area. Why is your Manhattan district attorney, with all the crime you have in your streets and everything else going crazy in Manhattan in that area, this is the thing he focuses on because he made it a campaign, I will get the scalp of Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, he did say that. But, you know, when you have people having to run to be a prosecutor in elections, what are you going to do? They say things to get themselves elected.
And get George Soros money backing it so that you don't.
He didn't, that's not true. I read a thing. He didn't get any money from Soros. Soros gave money to a PAC that independently supported Soros.
I see the circle.
But so what? I mean, look, a year ago, the left was banging on Bragg for not indicting Trump.
Right.
And here we are a year later, and everybody's all mad at him from the right for indicting.
Well, but here's the bottom. I'm sorry.
We'll see the facts.
Go ahead.
See, we don't know. Let us see the indictment. It might be unsealed today, but probably on Tuesday.
Right.
And Larry, we will learn, and we can talk about it.
We will.
On
we
the
will.
Air, and I will actually read it, and I know you will read it.
No, I'm not. I've got to do things. I've got to find a safe room and a coloring book. I can't deal with this anymore. Hey, what about Alan Dershowitz, famed Harvard law professor emeritus, saying, This is political persecution. That's all this is. Now, he hasn't seen all the facts other than what we've had bannered around. He has not seen the indictment, to my knowledge, but that's his view, and he is not a Trump supporter at all. He is a Democrat.
He's a huge Trump supporter.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
He said directly on the air. Okay, go ahead.
Larry.
Yes, sir.
1980. Three 16-year-old teenage kids show up in my campaign headquarters and start working for me. One of them grew up to be Chris Ruddy.
Huh?
Who started, owns, and runs Newsmax. No,
yeah.
And the first columnist he hired, you're talking to him. John LeBoulier.
Oh, so he made a good decision.
I've known Chris for 43 years.
Okay.
Right? Who do you think introduced Alan Dershowitz to Donald Trump? Chris Ruddy.
Okay.
Who do you think defended Trump in the first impeachment? Alan Dershowitz. He's totally pro-Trump. So that's
just because he defended him does not mean that he's pro-Trump if he's looking at rule of law as opposed to political persecution.
Believe me, he's pro-Trump. Now, he may not agree with Trump on every issue. I'll give you that. But he's a Trumper. He's a Newsmaxer. All those guys are all pro-Trump. He's a nice guy, too, Dershowitz. He's a very nice guy.
And he's
got his opinion. He wants to say it's political persecution.
But he is a
very besieged guy, Alan.
Very quick. I want you to have a chance to respond in this last 30 seconds. So, but this whole case that's now been tied together, the Department of Justice had looked at it previously and said there's not even a federal crime we can go after, and he's trying to elevate it to that. Your answer.
They didn't say any such thing.
Okay.
They are the ones who prosecuted Michael Cohen. The Trump Justice Department prosecuted Michael Cohen on this case, and in the case was individual number one, who they said, the Trump Justice Department said Cohen was directed by individual number one, which was Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to make an appointment once that indictment comes out. I don't know if we'll be able to do it immediately, but if you'll be available, we'll make it happen.
Great, Larry. I'm all set.
Always glad to have you, John. John LeBoutier. Always an amazing discussion and certainly engaging. Wouldn't you agree? Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota. For life. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine.
Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. He drank whiskey, poncho, drink wine. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Supposedly, Donald Trump will surrender to the Manhattan District Attorney sometime next week. Maybe. But what if he decides, I'm not going to New York, I'm staying here in Florida? Within the state of New York, Manhattan District Attorney would file for an extradition to have him brought back to stand trial. This is getting interesting at this point. Because the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, seen as the main opponent of Trump in a primary election, said, the indictment of former President Trump is un-American. He said the weaponization of the legal system to advance a political agenda turns the rule of law on its head. It's un-American. The Soros-backed Manhattan district attorney has consistently bent the law to downgrade felonies and excuse criminal misconduct, and yet now he's stretching the law to target a political opponent. And he said, Florida will not assist in an extradition request. That's big. That's very big if he will say Florida is not going to help extradite Trump to stand trial. Many see DeSantis and Trump as being against each other. And Trump has said things about DeSantis, which I wish he'd just not say. DeSantis has, for the most part, kept his powder dry. DeSantis is considered the most serious challenger to Trump for the 2024 presidential nomination, but he has yet to announce that he's actively in the race. He is preparing a campaign. We know that. Maybe a decision later this week. I mean, later this year, I should say. But if the governor intervenes in the extradition matters, if they're contested, there'll be a hell of a fight just getting Trump out of Florida, and he will be able to thank DeSantis for it, and Trump supporters will thank DeSantis. And it might be a meeting of the minds of the two of them that would definitely make Trump a winner. And to that point, many are thinking this whole thing could blow up in the face of Democrats. If this was the idea that if we get Trump in handcuffs and a mugshot, we will defeat him. No doubt the Democrat Party would use such a picture, but so would the Republican Party. So would Donald Trump. If they do a perp walk with him going past cameras, you've seen such walks and the suspects have their heads down, sometimes a coat over their wrist so you don't see the handcuffs when you know they're handcuffed. I see Trump, when he goes to do the mugshot, giving them the eagle stare and say, I just dare you. Come on, I dare you. It won't be a sorrowful look on a mugshot. It won't be looking, oh, woe is me. Oh, no, it'll be defiant. And when it comes to if he's in handcuffs, I can see him not covering it with a jacket, but holding his cuffed wrist high in the air, waving side to side like Rocky. I'm the victor. I'm the winner here. And he will be. In other words, this might actually make sure, guarantee, that Donald Trump will win 2024. After all, for one thing, the Democrats really don't have a candidate. Oh, you mean Chocolate Chip Joe? No, that won't work. Anyone else? Nope. And if DeSantis has already made it clear that Trump is being vilified unjustly, and the rule of law turned upside down just to get him as a political persecution, that's also going to change a lot of things. Now, I know a lot of this for many Americans, they're watching it, kind of keeping an eye on it, but it's just not pressing in their lives. Pressing for them is their family, their job, and how to find money they need in the midst of our economic situation, which Biden says it's just great, but the folks out there are suffering. To that point, Senator John Kennedy.
Most Americans aren't really rich and they're not really poor. They're in the middle.
Right.
They're unhappy. I don't blame them. They look around and see too many undeserving people at the top getting bailouts, too many undeserving people at the bottom getting handouts. They're getting the bill. They're very worried about, as they should be, about their job and the economy. The president keeps telling them, look, the economy's just fine, but it has not gone unnoticed among most Americans that they have to sell blood plasma in order to go to the grocery store.
I don't know if it's quite to that level, but then again, it might be for some. That is Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana, talking about that a lot of Americans are just not happy with the way things are. They're not really rich. They're not really poor. They're kind of in the middle, and yet they're suffering. Well, see, that's what the Democrats wanted you to do. They want you to suffer. They want you to suffer, suffer, suffer. But it's beginning to hit them back in the face. And even some Democrats are beginning to realize we're going to have to change our direction on this. A Fox News survey that just came out this week said that 90% of the voters are worried about Joe Biden's soaring inflation. 90%. That Biden's 40-year high inflation costing American households an extra $5,200 last year. About $433 a month, according to Bloomberg. Did you lose $430 last year every month? That's it. So Senator Kennedy's right. And then the House passed legislation, significant legislation in a way, that the Lower Energy Cost Act, with support from four Democrats, the bill labeled H.R. 1 is a signal to the GOP's top legislative priority, which passed 225 to 234, 204, I should say. One Republican, Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, did not vote for it. Four Democrats did. Congressman Cuellar of Texas, Gonzalez of Texas, Golden of Maine, and Glusenkamp Perez of Washington. They all broke with their party for it. And the House Majority Leader, Steve Scalise, Republican of Louisiana, leading sponsor of the bill, celebrated in a statement and ripped Biden for prioritizing a climate-driven energy agenda. As he said, from the day he took office, Biden has waged a war on American energy, and hard-working families are the ones paying the price. The same thing you're hearing from Senator Kennedy. In fact, to that extent, another member of the legislature, Senator Thune, said that Biden's oil and gas projects and so forth, we're going to spend three times what was protected in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act. And the Biden administration now being forced to offer up 2,600 square miles of federal oil and gas leases in the Gulf of Mexico in exchange to get West Virginia Senator Manchin's support for their climate legislation last summer. Remember, he had a deal and then they were kind of trying to back out of it? Well, now they're going to have to let companies bid on drilling in some 2,600 square miles. You can't just simply say no more fossil fuels. And the state that's going to realize that the most will be California. As of 2035, I will guarantee you there will still be cars running on gas, and they can't do a thing about it.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So put this on your calendar, May the 1st. Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. Napoli C will have the finest seafood, lobster, crab, caviar. May 1st, Napoli C opens on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3, which is also open for lunch and on Sundays. You can find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and then May 1st, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You know, of course, that we have an elephant that represents Republicans. A donkey represents Democrats. Some call that donkey by a three-letter word that you might find that some folks don't like to use that often. You know where all that started? A lot of the credit for that goes back to Thomas Nast. He was a cartoonist at Harper's Weekly from 1882 to 1886. First great political cartoonist. And certainly one of the harshest satirists, I should say. He went after all kinds of people. In fact, often he was called Nasty, Thomas Nasty. But he saw the Republicans as an elephant, and he came up with this cartoon during what they called the Third Term Panic in 1874. That's when he used the elephant to represent the Republican Party, although it had also been done some 50 years before, but he put it in this cartoon form. The Third Term Panic of 1874 involved President Ulysses Grant, a Republican, who's contemplating running for a third term. That was not illegal at that time. We didn't have the 22nd Amendment. But a lot of folks said, no, that's too long to be in there as the White House. So Nass decided to do a cartoon portraying the elephant as a symbol for the Republican Party and showing that the Democrat candidates in the New York Herald spreading the rumor were just jack donkeys or something of that effect. You don't want to miss our 6 o'clock report today. It's time for an accountability about Afghanistan, and yet our defense secretary says, I have no regrets. I have no regrets. That's at 6 o'clock today, reminding you of our pledge, one nation under God.